We are kicking off a sermon series tonight on prayer. Who's excited about this? Supporta means to us. Listen, guys, I just want to... The amazing things about long weekends like this is we realize that the church actually has grown. When we just arrived in 2013, when it was a long weekend, you'd literally have 10 people in church. And we used to joke that before that, for the new people, this is what church was like. That's now even, let's say 2010-ish, is there'd be one guy on projector, and then there'll be the whole band, and there'll be David. He'll be singing. That was church. Okay, David has moved on already. They planted the church, and now they left us in charge. But isn't it amazing that we still have a big meeting, and everyone is away? It's awesome, eh? But it's also good to see that there's empty chairs, which means there's work for us. A few years back, one of the pastors did a study about Secunda, and they figured out that if they build another 80 churches in this town that seats 1,000 people, you still won't be able to get the whole town in church on a Sunday. That's how many people don't know the Lord. All right? So we should never be shy about inviting, shy about getting friends here. There is not enough space in this town for the amount of people that must come to know Christ. Amen? So we have work to do. Tonight we're kicking off. Do you guys have my slides there? Awesome. We're doing a sermon series on prayer, and we're starting tonight with the title, This Is Why We Pray. All right? And let me just quickly start with making a few announcements. If we can go to the next slide. This is what this month looks like. Now, if you look on your seat, there's a little pamphlet. And there's a prayer march this Tuesday, which is a public holiday. It's it starts there by Inferno's. Great place to start a prayer march. Some of you guys will still be there from Monday night, so we'll just get you outside. Okay? And what makes this amazing is there was actually a video clip that I lost. I'm sorry. I'm also on there. It's all the churches that we partner with. Actually, we're doing this together. And mostly the guys from Lighthouse take the logistics. So why is this important for us? It's important because God blesses corporate bodies of churches coming together. He's into unity, all right? So when we partake and the town advance spiritually, we also bear fruit, all right? So if you can just organize a page for us at the back, we need at least 10 guys that will be willing to help with putting up a bit of a jacket and helping with the traffic. Big guys like Rickard, so if a bucky hits you, then, you know, it's not the people but you, okay? So if we can get just a few guys putting their names on, then afterwards, it's going to be 1 hour, short one, praying together, walking around the inner city center, there, KFC. You can walk through the drive-thru if you want, finish at Inferno's, and then you can go back in, I mean, if that's where you come from. And the rest of us, we can do a coffee afterwards or something, okay? That's the first thing. Then, because there's this, we're not going to have prayer tomorrow night. Carla and all the other intercessors. We're going to skip tomorrow evening because we're going to meet here. Okay. Right. Then, what we want to do with intercession or our prayer times, which is normally at Mondays at 7 o'clock, is we want to use the next three, except for this one, which we cancel, to train you guys up. To come to prayer on a Monday, sometimes for people it's maybe a step too far because you feel, hey, I don't know if I can pray in front of people. I only know the Lord a little bit or for a short while. We organize it especially for you, all right? Not this Monday, the next one for three in a row. We're going to break it down and we're going to do it in its simplest form, and we're going to broaden the amount of people in this church that's not scared to pray, all right? So it's your chance to get on the bus. Does that make sense? All right. And then in a month's time, round about when this sermon series finished, we're having a fast, okay? Which of course ties in with prayer. And a lot of people have come to me and is actually very excited to take part in their first fast. Who has never fasted before? A few. All right. So what we do is we give God our food for one day in exchange for prayer. All right. And we get hungry and we get frustrated and then we rely on God and massive breakthroughs happen. And we're going to have it in that time. We're actually going to fast for more than one day. But for those that's going to fast for the first time and want to experience it, you do only one day. Okay, so this whole month is coming together. It's more than just preaching through these things. We want to take you on a journey, and you are welcome to take part. And if you've got any questions, I mean, you can just ask me or the Connect table. Right. One last thing. I forgot the book. I wanted to have it here. There's a book, and I decided actually to preach out of it very closely in this month because it's become like our church's handbook for prayer. The book's name is Intercessory Prayer. Just look for a slide that says spells intercession, please. There's one further down low so they can just see. It's a terrible word if you don't know what it means. In any case, if you want to really jump into this month, buy the book. It's the best book on prayer you can buy. All right? Dis baie beter as die man se gebed vir die vrou. Of wie, how a woman can pray for a kid or something like that. This is the real deal. Okay, this thing will train you up. So get this book. The book's name is Intercessory Prayer. Get in the book and you'll actually see this month almost dovetailing through the book. Okay, well, Bates, if you can just have the name and the author is Dutch Sheets, just at the back and you can inquire there. If we get like 20 people that want it, we'll see if we can make a bulk order. Okay? Awesome. Otherwise, you can order it yourself. Right. Father, I just want to ask that you will lead me through this message and just use me, Lord, as an empty vessel. I pray that your word will be glorified today, that your Son will be glorified. Holy Spirit, that you will be glorified. Father, that you will be lifted up as we discover this intimate part of relationship with you. Amen. Right, tonight, I'm at slide number 3, guys. I'm going to teach you 3 things. Okay, I'll answer 3 questions. First, why do we pray? What is intercession? And I will teach you 2 Hebrew words so that you may look and act smart. Okay? I often do that. I like it when the members in my church appear to know a lot. So I hope you have your notebook here. If you don't have, I don't know why. I don't go to rugby without talks, okay? So you shouldn't come to church without your notebook. Right, let's head into this. I'm going to make a statement that's true, and then I'm going to show it through scripture. I'm going to do it the other way around. First, I'm going to show you the statement. I'm going to make a few tonight, and then I'm going to take you to the collective parts of it. Here's the first one. God is so committed to us that he chose to work through us, not independently of us. Okay? God is so committed to us that he chose to work through us, not independently of us. Very important. This is a decision God made and he will not change from it. He will use us on earth or it won't be done. It is massive. Let's go on. This is Genesis 2 verse 15. There's one of the second team rugby players on a motorbike somewhere there in the background. Just relax, guys. Well, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Okay? He put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Now, there's your first Hebrew word, shamar. It's the word for keep it. Okay? And what this word means is to guard or to protect or to watch over. Right? Now, what this means is that does not make man the owner of the Garden of Eden, but it makes man the steward, of die voorman. Okay? Dink aan 'n plaas. This is God's place, this is God's earth, and he says, but listen, you are my son, I want you to watch over it for me. And up to a certain extent, to a certain place, Rudy, you that gets this mandate from God can make decisions that will influence what happens in the garden or not. Okay? It's a lot like a farmer that has someone that runs his farm for him. If that guy messes up, the crop fails. Does it mean the owner is a bad farmer if there's no crop? No. He wasn't even there. He was somewhere overseas. There was a steward. There was a voorman. In the same way, to us gets delegated so much authority on this earth that we mess up so bad that often people will say, check what an ugly God we serve. God is bad. Did you see the stuff that happens? But it's never God's fault. We are stewards. We are mandated to watch over what happens on earth. Did you know that? All right, that's the first word, shamar. Check this out. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The word there is Nathan or Nathan. And it does not mean to give away, but to assign to. This is your part. This is exactly like a farmer that's got three sons, and then he divides his farm in three, and he assigns the one to the one son. He assigns the other to the other son, and then the last part to the other son. You guys rule over this. One son may do a fantastic job. One son may do a terrible job. Exactly the same way God assigns to us this earth. It's interesting. What happens in the heavens is God's responsibility. We cannot influence what happens in the heavens. It is God. We've got a big influence of what happens on earth. So I make that statement again. God is so committed to us that he chose to work through us, not independently of us. Now, I'm going to make a second statement. From the beginning, God chose us to represent him in the world. Okay. What does it mean to represent? Think of it this way. There's a very big company called Sasol in this town, and it's got an, I don't know if you can say something like an owner, but let's say there's like one person, he's the owner. Everyone knows it in the world. But now Sasol wants to make a deal with China, but the owner can't be everywhere on one time. It's just not possible. So he sends one of his directors, Tiens. Jy gaan 'n direkteur word in Sasol. Amen. Dankie. Jy gaan al die mense betaal. In elk geval. So he sends Tiens to what? To represent him. He can't be present in China. He's not there. But he is present through Tiens. He is re-present. So when Tiens arrives there with the file and with the folder and all the paperwork that shows who he is, and he's got his Sasol badge and all the gates open, and he signs the contract, it is done. As if the owner signed it. Because he represented the boss. All right? Make sense? In the same way, we are called, and Adam was called, to represent God. So when Adam would name the animals, they would not question it. When Adam sorted them out in their kinds or whatever he did in the garden before the fall of man, which might have been a long time, you guys, did you ever know that or think about that? So they said might have been up to 100 years. But not, let's not go into that. He represented God. In fact, he was made in the image of God. Some scholars say it might even be that from afar the animals would not know was it God or Adam. He was made in God's image so purely, and there was no sin. He was probably glowing. Representing God. That's how much he trusted him with earth. In the same way, we are called to represent. How are you doing with that? Okay. You are called to represent. If you're in a meeting at work and the topic goes a certain way that's dishonorable, to women or to a company or to honesty. You are there representing. God is there through you. Did you know that? It's amazing. It's amazing how it works. Every place in this town or in this world where you get yourself into, God wants to be there because you're there. You're representing Him. And just to show you an example that God uses us and He will absolutely refuse to stop doing it, is even in the Old Testament, what did He use to talk to His people? He used humans, prophets, judges, kings. Later they became pastors, apostles. God will never stop using us because He made us to be in relationship with Him. That's just amazing. Listen, this is what we're doing tonight. We're creating a very strong foundation for what's coming the rest of this month. God has not given up on us. Isn't it amazing? Let me just tell you this. We've said it before in this church as well. The church cannot die. Did you know that? You cannot kill the church. You can try and persecute the church. You can try and kill the Christians. The church will just grow more. That's how strongly this relationship between God and His people is. It is out of this world. It's amazing. You should be very proud to be a part of church. You should be very proud of it. It is the one thing in this whole world that has stood the test of time since Christ, and it will only grow stronger until He comes back. It's amazing. Now, to put this in practice, what we just spoke about, check this out. Just before that, there was a massive drought. This is the story of Amnon and his awesome wife, Jezebel. She was not so awesome. But in any case, it didn't rain for many years. And this is now God that speaks to Elijah. He says, "Now go show yourself to Ahab," he was the king, "and I will send rain on the earth." I'm not going to read the whole section, but this is the word that comes to Elijah. What does God say? "I will send rain." Now, I'm just quickly skipping to James, because the book of James is this Jacobus, because now he's referring back to that story, and in the New Testament it's a bit more condensed. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, same story, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. That was before our verse. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Are we all together? First it did not rain, and then God said, "I will send rain." Now I've got two questions. Number one, whose idea was it to send the rain? Come on. God's idea. "Elijah, I want you to go to present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." Whose idea is it? God's idea. Who prayed? Why? God will not do it otherwise. And he had to pray, I think, 7 times. And I think it was in the fetal position. And then there was this little cloud as a fist. It was a story. Why is it, I'm talking about myself, when I get a word from God that something amazing is about to happen, or I get excited about someone's life that's going to change, I say, "Lord, it's going to be amazing." And I sit and wait for better days. Whose will is it that that person gets saved? God. Who's going to change his life? God. Who loved that person so much? God. Who must pray for them? Me. I need to pray God's will into this earth. It is scary and amazing that He trusts us. Isn't that amazing? So there's the answer to the first question. This is why we pray. Why do we pray? If we don't pray, it doesn't happen. Now, if God really wants it to happen, and I'm not serviceable, then He will find someone else to pray. All right? For the rain. I mean, the rain won't stop forever. He will find someone else. But what about my relationship with God? I want to be serviceable to Him. I want to have this great relationship with Him. So I want to respond and partner with this kingdom coming. Whose will is it that God's kingdom come on earth? God's will. Why must we pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? That's how God works. It's amazing. That is why we pray. We have a great role to play in this town and in this world. From the beginning, God chose us to represent Him in this world. It's a partnership. Now, make it practical. God wants to change lives in this town. We all agree on that. He wants to see marriages flourish. He wants to see kids grow up in homes that serves God. But you must still invite your friend to church and pray for him, so that what God wills actually happens through your mediation. It's scary and amazing. Don't give up on those people you've been praying for. Don't give up. Pray. Thank God. Pray, invite, love them into the kingdom. You've got a great role to play. You have to pray for yourself as well. The worst thing you can do, sorry, I had a bit of a, wat nu mense, kan het seker nie oor die mic sê nie. Let me get a better way to explain myself. I had a bit of a tantrum about it a few weeks ago. It's the worst thing to do when your life go from trauma to trauma and from pain to pain because you're stupid, and then you post everything happens for a reason on Facebook and you shift all that blame on God. That's not God's fault. It was this. You're right. Everything does happen for a reason, but you're the reason. If God warns us and leads us to do something a certain way and you keep on doing it the other way, you are the reason for your pain. Which means if you see Him and have faith, you can actually move out of that place of pain. Isn't that true? You have a role to play in responding to God. You need to pray for yourself. Don't just wait for stuff to happen and say everything happens for a reason. Start to pursue God. Walk after Him. Follow Him. Pray. Get into the Word. Do everything you can do. Then I will say with you, everything happened for a reason. Because that's what the Scripture says. For those who are called according to His purpose. Those who are walking after a vision of Christ. Everything happens for a reason. Even if they kill you, people will get saved. Even if you and your wife go on an outreach to reach people in some other dangerous place and you lose your wife, everything happens for a reason. You are serviceable to God and you're moving. Now we are sitting around here, not we, people are just wasting their lives and they say everything happens for a reason. It's unfair, guys. Do you agree with me? It's unfair. Sometimes we need to intervene in our own lives very strongly. It's God's plan for you to do amazing in this world. I promise you, it's God's plan for you to have a great marriage. It doesn't happen by itself. I promise you that. You're going to have to put your faith on the table. Pray for yourself and do what God shows you to do to cultivate that marriage, cultivate your life. Amen? That wasn't part of my notes. Now, intercession. Here's that word. And I'm sorry, sometimes we are doing it the wrong way. We've got a slide on the screen and we say we have intercession on Mondays, 7 o'clock. And it's actually very bad of us because many people don't know what it means. It sounds like a swear word or it sounds like an operation of some sort. Okay. Het klink vir my of iemand gaan steke kry of iets. Any guys, let's define this word. This is so amazing and so important to understand. We're talking about prayer. Now, intercession, just a word like that, not in the biblical context, just that word, means to go between two parties. I'm not talking about inferno parties, and so if you go from one party to another, you intercede. Okay, I'm talking about two entities, all right? Some of you know what it means to go between two parties. I'm talking here about two entities. Okay. So let me give you an example. Niels and Rudy end up fighting there backstage because I don't know what Rudy did. The next thing, there was a wrestling match. Now they apart from one another. They don't want to talk to one another. They just want to fight and what. And so one of them come to their senses and say, and Niels asks Tiens, I feel really bad about what I did to Rudy. But if I go and show my face to him, he will punch it. Okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to go to Rudy and tell Rudy that I'm very sorry for what I did and I would like to have a conversation with him. Tiens just turned into what? The intercessor. The one who goes between two parties. Okay? The middleman. So examples of intercessor today might, the best is like a lawyer, right? Someone that goes between you and the law, you and some other defense party, whatever. Okay. Now, follow me here. We were once assigned to mediate between God and the animals, Adam. Okay? You got over this garden. So Adam was the first intercessor. You look over that part, but you represent me. Does it make sense? Then mankind fell away from God, and we needed a mediator to bring us back to God. Jesus is the intercessor. The one who made a way back to God. If it was not for the mediation of Jesus, we cannot be with God. You cannot know Him today. And so the greatest work of intercession was what? Those moments on the cross. So if you look at Jesus' life and what He represents on that cross at that moment, during His life, He says, if you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. The disciples will say, but we've never seen the Father. He says, look at me, what I do, how I love, how I care, how I cry with you guys, how I hold close, how I feed. That is the Father. You don't need to see a picture of Him. This is who He is. Look at me. So he represented the Father to us, right? Then He goes on the cross and some of His last words, what was that? Father, now forgive them. They don't know what they've done. He presented us to God and God to us. And that's why the only meeting place, the only place to meet God is the cross of repentance and forgiveness. It's our place of mediation, our place of intercession. Christ is the intercessor. That's amazing, eh? Check this out. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Can you see they use that word, advocat? Why? He's doing the work of an advocate at the right hand of God. That is amazing. That's actually a great definition for an intercessor. Check this out. Romans 5 verse 1. We're talking about Christ the intercessor here. I want you to see this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Why? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way to the Father except through the mediator, Jesus, the intercessor. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. The grace that comes with following God, this absolute place of there's a joy in my heart, there's a expectation of a future, there's a hope for me and my family, there's something burning in my heart. You have access into that because of the mediator, Jesus. That's just amazing. And this is how it works. And you'll actually find this example in that book. It's a great book. Intercessory prayer. Please get it. If you've got books and you don't have that book, you've got it the wrong way around. Need that book. They put it out very simply, but very strongly. If you go, now we're heading into practical prayer. You're going to pray now. Okay. Father, thank you that I can be in your courts. I just want to spend this time with you. I think my son is busy crying there at the back, so don't worry about him. He'll be okay. He's just breaking the walls and stuff. Father, I come into your courts and I need to bring so-and-so before you. I want to spend time with you. I want to pray. The moment you step into that conversation with God, Father, there's a mediator. And in a way, this is what happens. Christ sits next to God and says, Father, Carla is here to speak with you. She's got access because I've paid for her sins. Remember that day she gave her heart to me and I paid for her sins. She's got access. And then the Father always responds, she's always welcome. You've made a way for her. Someone prays, Lord, yes, I'm really in this situation. I really need breakthrough. Tiens is playing and Jesus is doing his work. He's saying, Father, Tiens is here. Remember, I paid for his sin. He has access into grace. He's praying and the Father's like, yes, that's amazing. I know Tiens, you've washed him clean. He's got free access into my grace. I don't think they've got that conversation every time, but that's a way for us to understand it. The advocate is right there, the one who mediates. That's how prayer works on a baseline level. So through a work of intercession, I want to put this word in a sentence for you to get this. Through a work of intercession, Jesus brought mankind back to God. The intercession Christ did was paying for our sins. That was his main work of bringing together, all right? Now, here's where it hits us. I'm almost done. I've got a few slides left. Check this out. Because Jesus did a work of intercession, I don't always put all my lines on there, but I want you to see that because I want you to get an understanding of this word intercession. Because he did a work of intercession, we can pray prayers of intercession. He is the intercessor, but I'm also an intercession. Intercessor. And how this works is what he has done, I'm an extension of that. Now, Christ died and forgave the sins of this world, right? Are we together? It's his desire people come to him and be saved. Now what I do is I have a friend. Think of someone at work or of some other friend that does not know the Lord. What I can do now is I can do a work similar to God's work because of what he has done. It's not my work. I'm only an extension of it. I can go to the Father and say, Father, I'm just going to call a name. I bring James to you. What have I just done? I've connected the Father with James. James doesn't even know about it. James doesn't even want to talk about God. James is angry with God, but he's in the throne room of God because of me. I'm doing a work of intercession here. I bring James to you, Lord, because you created him. I put him before your throne, and I want you, Jesus, to open his eyes. Because Jesus mediated once and perfectly, I can do the same because he, remember, wants me to represent him. I have no power to grant forgiveness, but I may carry to the one who can grant forgiveness. So I do a work of intercession. You can do a work of intercession for the sick. You can do a work of intercession for someone who doesn't know God. You can do a work of intercession for yourself. You can carry someone to God and connect them together. Make sense? Why do we pray? Because we've been given this great authority. It's amazing. This should blow your mind. You know what's a great example of intercession is those, remember that story in the Bible with the guys bringing their friend that can't walk and they put him through the roof? He couldn't get there himself. So his buddies, faith, brought him there, lowered him through the roof. And Christ says, because of your faith, the whole bunch of them, the guy's healed and saved. That is a practical example of what you do in prayer when you carry someone to Christ in prayer. Your prayers are powerful. So pray. It's amazing. We've seen amazing things happen through prayers. We've seen deliverance. We've seen breakthrough. We've seen sickness left. Our prayers are powerful because we are intercessors with Christ. You can also pray for your town. Did you know that? You can bring your town before God. That's what we do here on Mondays. Father, the whole town is not here. It won't fit in here. And at this moment, they're not interested to be here, but that's okay. Whether you want to or not, we're carrying you to God in prayer. Okay, you're going to be in that throne room. Your name's going to be mentioned, and we're going to pray. God's going to change your life because He's faithful. So that's why we call our Monday prayer intercession, because mostly we're not just thanking God. We do that as well. We are mostly not just, there's different types of prayer. Intercession is not equal to prayer, okay? Intercession is a type of prayer. It's a type of prayer where you bring two parties together. There's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of supplication where you say, Lord, help me. I'm not going to make this month my finances. Intercession specifically, you are going to and fro. We come here on Monday and mostly we pray for people that's not here. We bring them to God. You can also intercede for a company if it's going bad. A town or country, okay? You can adopt, for example, a country you've never been to. If God lays a country in your heart, you can pray for Chile every day if you want to. Okay? Maybe you can pray for Hawaii every day, and then maybe God will send you there one day to stay. Okay? You can try and figure that out. I did that. I end up in Secunda, so watch out. I'm just joking. You know, you guys know I love this place. I'm an ambassador for this place. Awesome. We're finishing off. Listen, do you understand prayer a bit better here tonight? Can I just see an indication? Is this helping? Does everyone know what intercession means now? Does everyone know that Jesus was the intercessor and that we are an extension of His work? That means that sometimes when we pray for people, we must do it every time and leave the results to God. If someone gets healed, if I put my hand on them and there's a healing that takes place, and it has happened in this church more than once, was it me? No. What did I do? I did intercede. And God is happy about that because there's a partnership. But the healing does not come from me. It's only an extension of what Christ has done. But what if I did not pray? All right? So we have a part to play, and we should never be proud about that. We should be thankful that God wants to use us. But He wants us to pray, and so we must. It's a command. Right, check it out. Pray, this is Jesus, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. God is saying, pray that people will be reached. But we know He wants people to be reached. Why pray? He needs us to pray. Same thing. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Is it God's will that you fall into temptation? No. But you must pray that you don't fall into temptation. And for your friend. You see this pattern in everything. I just have four examples for you. At the same time, pray also for us. This is Paul writing. That God may open to us a door for the word. So that Christ can be preached. Okay? Now, is it God's will that the message be preached? Yes. But Paul says, pray for us that the door will be open. We must pray. This is a cool one. Pray without ceasing. I don't think I have to explain that one. All right? That's a great verse to memorize. You want to memorize your first Bible verse? Here it is. Pray without ceasing. The other one is Jesus wept. That's even better. That means you can quickly have to. Beloved, I pray, check this out. I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health. Is it God's will that you be healthy and that it goes well? Yes. Should we pray about it? Yes. We should extend that heart of God, that work of God through prayer. This is one of my favorite scriptures, James 5 verse 16. Therefore confess your sins to one another. Be honest with one another. Be brothers in this place. Okay, be sisters. This is why we're here. Be honest with your shortcomings and pray for one another that you may be healed. Wow. Such power. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Amazing. And there's my last slide, guys. Are you wishing someone good luck, or are you interceding for them? Okay. Wishing someone good luck shows them that maybe you're their friend, but it's not helping them. If you pray for them and bring them before God, that makes a difference. Do you need to stand with someone tonight in prayer, I mean? Is there someone that maybe really needs prayer, but they're not here? Did you know that you can carry them into God's throne room tonight? Because you're here and you understand this thing of interceding, going between two parties. And then have you accepted the work of mediation that Christ did for you? All right? Just because the work is done doesn't mean we cannot accept it. We must accept it. What is done is something to respond to. It's a perfect work, but we must change our hearts unto Christ. We must turn to Him in a personal way. And we can change this place. You can change your family upside down for God. Some of us look at our families and we just see holes and cracks and tears, and the best way for us to deal with our families is often not to go there. But you know what? You may be the agent of change. Okay? There's hope. You are the redemptive agent. Thanks, Rudy. Let's stand tonight.